You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
A look now at two Supreme Court decisions yesterday, which could give some insight into the Roberts Court. Two rulings. One was in regard to young people. The court ruled 5-4 that a young person outside from committing murder cannot be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, utilizing the cruel and unusual punishment doctrine, possibly defining it maybe more clearly than in the past. The other ruling was about whether Congress has the power to order people who have been convicted of sex crimes beyond their regular sentence, essentially extending their sentences. Here to talk about both of these cases is Jamal Green, Associate Professor of Law at Columbia Law School and former law clerk to retiring Justice John Paul Stevens. Good morning, Jamal.
Good morning. Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about this cruel and unusual punishment decision. Has the court defined it or looked very, very narrowly at a specific class of laws?
Well, what the court's really done here is there's a big divide on the court between those who think that you have to the Eighth Amendment, which governs cruel and unusual punishment, has to be tied to the original understanding of the Constitution, so back in the 18th century, or whether it can sort of change the times. And here the court is really saying, we've evolved over the years, and at this point we can say that juveniles who commit non-homicide offenses can't receive these kinds of sentences. And so it's extending the Eighth Amendment, the ban on the death penalty for juveniles and the ban on the death penalty for those who don't commit homicides to life without parole.
It seems by implication they're saying that if you're a young person and you commit virtually any crime, there's the possibility of rehabilitation in some sense. But with murder, there's no such possibility. And I'm wondering if they have an argument for that.
I think what the court is really saying is that what the majority of what Justice Kennedy's opinion is saying is that he says young people don't have the same kind of irretrievably depraved character that would characterize someone who's going to receive a life sentence without parole. There's not just a chance at rehabilitation, but they don't take deterrence into account in the same way. They're not able to deal with their lawyers in quite the same way. Young people are sort of categorically different than adults who commit similar crimes.
Why wouldn't that be true for murder, though?
Well, it's not clear that it is, and one of the big questions going forward is going to be, well, how do you draw these kinds of,
right,
of lines? What about young with murder? It actually turns out that the court has already said that young people are not eligible for the death penalty for murder offenses. But the line between saying that an adult, someone who's 18. Who commits a crime and gets a life without parole sentence is categorically different from a child, that's going to be something that the court will have to look at going forward.
Indeed, and the 5-4 vote with Kennedy writing the majority opinion, of course, is an indication of just how much is potentially challengeable here or how much more defining has to be done. Let's talk about the sex offender ruling.
Yes. This is a ruling where the court says, you know, those who are have committed sex crimes and who are found to be both mentally ill and sexually dangerous can be kept in civilly confined beyond the ordinary term of their sentences. And this is a situation where the question is whether Congress has the authority to do this. There's no question that states who are dealing with state prisoners can actually keep people civilly confined past their term, but the question is whether Congress has the same kind of authority.
Could they have this authority outside the domain of sex crimes, basically creating an open-ended sentence for other offenses?
Well, the opinion doesn't necessarily limit it to sex crimes.
Interesting.
So there's no reason, based on the opinion, why that couldn't be the case. What Justice Breyer says in the majority opinion is, you know, as the custodian of federal prisons, Congress gets to make sure that prisoners are not released who may be dangerous to the community. Not clear why that would be limited to sex crimes.
Well, Jamal Green, you clerked with Justice John Paul Stevens, who's retiring. Some have said that Kagan is a middle-of-the-road liberal compared to John Paul Stevens. Do you think Kagan's appointment to the court moves the court to the right?
I think we'll see. There's certainly a possibility of that. You know, you get sort of winks and nods from the administration, and one doesn't know what to make of those. She doesn't have a very long record. And Justice Stevens, I think, certainly was a liberal anchor of the court. But again, Justice Stevens, when he was appointed, was considered sort of a quirky maverick. He was appointed
right.
by Gerald Ford, a Republican, and so people change when they're on the court.
This
so
is a real time will tell kind of situation. Jamal Green, associate professor of law at Columbia Law School and former law clerk to Justice John Paul Stevens.
Now to our listeners to check in on what's the conversations around American households. We're talking a lot, hearing a lot at least, about feminism. That's family-centered feminism. Layla from Detroit had something to say.
The linchpin in this whole discussion seems to be that a woman is evolved and accomplished if she has a career. Why can't a career be stay-at-home mom and multitasking and organizing the household is sometimes even more challenging than an executive position?
And this question also came up on whether there's an ideal age for a woman to have a baby and still have a successful career. Johnny gave us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE.
For me, it wasn't so much about the perfect time as having the perfect situation. And I think you have to look at everybody individually. Some people are much better at juggling, and you have to really know yourself and know what you can handle.
And Vita from New Jersey writes, I don't think there's any age that's better or worse for having kids. To have a great career, when push comes to shove, the woman has to choose the career. If she's planned well, she has a good backup for childcare, but ultimately, one or the other has to give. No one can be in multiple places at the same time. You can keep this conversation going at our website, thetakeaway.org.
We've also been hearing from people about the oil leak in the Gulf. Christopher from Oil Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma, called us.
I don't consider myself a technocrat, but I think one thing that we should be able to count on with this type of catastrophe is an acceleration in the advancement of a technological solution to this. How else are we going to really solve this problem if we don't have an international effort as far as solving it?
Who's responsible for solving it, and who's responsible for that Gulf oil spill anyway? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.